Message, let us welcome Grace Reverend Hartman to the podium. Thank you. Hello, hello, hello. So, let's see, is this good? A Buddhist monk walks up to a hot dog vendor and says, "Make me one with everything." After a brief chuckle, the vendor makes the hot dog and gives it to the monk, saying, "That will be $4, please." After the monk hands over a $20 bill, he finds himself waiting uncomfortably while the vendor does nothing except stare back at him. Awkwardly, the monk says, "What about my change?" "Ah," said the hot dog vendor, "change must come from within." So I entitled this talk, I just need this just up a little bit here, "Be the Change." So I was raised in a liberal Jewish household, and I attended synagogue services throughout my life, present time included. When I got to Tucson, where am I? When I got to Tucson, I joined St. Francis in the foothills because I was moved by the pastor, David Wilkinson, and his wisdom and his spirituality. And I went to talk to him about membership, and I said, "Would I be betraying my Judaism if I joined?" He said, "No, bring your Judaism with you." So that's what I did. So I have always been open to many faith traditions. I am an interfaith, ordained interfaith minister. And I believe it's been through this exposure to diverse forms of religious faith over the years that has resulted in my consistent disappointment with how so many factions of organized religion tend to exclude instead of include. And this has always seemed to me to be so contrary to the teachings of God, of the God of love, who is seemingly at the core of each of these belief systems. And because of this lifetime of conflicting involvement with organized religion that has resulted in my perhaps labeling my own spirituality as one of seeking, which has been abundantly filled with experiences ranging from the dark night of the soul to the joy and exhilaration of feeling at one with the world, so often testing my own faith in a God of love, a God of forgiveness, a God of infinite possibilities. And I believe it's this seeker in me that attracted me to the Desert Interfaith Theological Seminary, which they called a monastery without walls. And it was a contemplative approach to spirituality. I became familiar with a circle of like-minded seekers who were disenfranchised with the church, but still wanted a strong relationship with God and an open, accepting philosophy of equality. So you might have all heard of Neil Donald Walsh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He concludes in his book, What God Wants, excuse me, "Our opportunity now is to create the space of possibility for a new spirituality to emerge upon the earth. A kind of spirituality that will not in any way hinder or destroy our own individual and traditional faith traditions, but that will reinvigorate them, refresh them, enliven them, expand them, and allow them to flourish, bringing to our world at last an individualized experience of the divine in a unified form that makes no one wrong for the way they are approaching the God of their understanding, and that creates no condemnation or conflict in God's name." You may have heard the saying, which comes from our brother Mahatma Gandhi, who charged us to be the change you wish to see in the world. Well, I used to go to the Church of Tamara, and many years ago, we had a film series, which some of you might have taken part in. And we saw a film entitled Indigo. And it was a film that brought many of us into the awareness of a fast-growing movement towards a new spirituality, a vision of unity of all humanity, living together in a common resonance with one another and Mother Earth. A humanity who shares a common God of love, God of forgiveness, God of infinite possibilities. This film, Indigo, focused on the lives of a particular group of children who many believe were sent here as messengers to teach us how to coexist, to teach us that we are all God, not separate from one another. This special generation of souls was born around the time from about 9 to 12 years ago, give or take. The Indigo child typically exhibits challenging behavioral issues, oftentimes misdiagnosed as ADD or ADHD, ADHD. Also, they have extremely high IQs. They often appear as belligerent, contradictory, impatient, highly creative, and many times are found to isolate themselves. But many people believe that these children were sent to us by God as messengers for humanity. So seeing this film, along with thousands of other curious folks throughout the world, opened up my heart and my mind even wider than I could have imagined, as it led me further to explore the world of those who believe in global and universal change through collective consciousness. The premise behind this consciousness, according to Neil Donald Walsh in his book, What God Wants, is that when many individuals make the same choice collectively, the combined energy of this collective consciousness can have an immediate and detectable influence on the larger reality in any environment. And ultimately, this can affect all of life on Earth. This could be part of the new paradigm of faith for all humanity, so that many enlightened 20th and 21st century thinkers and spiritual leaders are subscribing to. These are not new ideas. Prophets and great thinkers throughout the ages have proclaimed the need for a spiritual unity and collective consciousness through their writings, their art, and their music. So Neil Donald Walsh also wrote that New York Times best-selling book called Conversation with God. And also, he's one of the main characters in the film Indigo. And he is the founder of what's called Humanity's Team. At a conference several years ago, he opened his initial address with a story about a dream he had. Actually, it was a nightmare. In the dream, there were different groups of people, all from different religions, from different countries, fighting with each other. He stood in the middle, observing these people killing one another and the earth around them. He kept reaching out and trying to stop them, but nothing seemed to work. He kept calling out to God for help. It seemed as if they were each their own exclusive team, trying to win and prove that they were the best and all other teams were wrong and therefore worth nothing and needed to be removed from the earth. Well, he awakened from this nightmare bolt upright, sweating, his heart pounding, screaming, "Who will be on humanity's team?" Still in the deeply emotional throes of his prophetic nightmare, he picked up the phone in the middle of the night and called his manager, exclaiming with urgency the need to form Humanity's Team. He went online to find if humanitiesteam.org was available, and it was. He purchased it, and thus was birthed this grassroots organization he calls a Civil Rights Movement for the Soul, whose mission is to renew and restore our connection with God and with each other. Since 2003 to the present, at least 21,000 people from 94 countries on 6 continents and counting have joined humanity's team. And some of these people, Deepak Chopra, Matthew Fox, Greg Braden, Wayne Dyer, Joan Borisenko, Patricia Cota Robles, over 65 international team members. And they seek to free humanity from oppressive beliefs about a separate, angry, violent, and fearful God, about life and about each other. This freedom, they believe, will allow each and every one of us to live a richer and fuller existence, enabling us to utilize the tools and gifts inherent in each of us to illuminate the world and live together in peace. So there is a book in Judaism called Pirkei Avot, The Ethics of the Fathers. And this is a collection of wisdom from the Jewish Talmudic sages. And the most famous saying about effort is, you are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. This teaches that while the ultimate goal might be unattainable or too vast, we must always strive and contribute as our efforts matter, and we are not permitted to give up. It's a beautiful concept. It says we have an obligation to work, to continue trying to make our way through the world, to make a difference. At the same time, the instruction also focuses you on the effort, not the outcome. The main idea is the project, the journey, not necessarily the destination. Virtue is its own reward. Additionally, it allows for the difficulties of living and doing. It is permissible to come up short so long as you have done the hard work. So, in conclusion, I wish for each and every one of you, us, to take time to look deep inside ourselves, inside one another, and see God who lives within each one of our hearts. A God of love, a God of forgiveness, a God of infinite possibilities. And with this good news, we are all capable of being the change. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin once stated, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And you can join humanity's team. There is no unity without you. I just also wanted to mention that during my ministry program at Tamara, lovely, dear, oh my God, what's his name? Emerson Bartlemé, hello.
Oh, yeah,
Emerson Bartlemé, he said, whenever you do a talk, start with a joke, because it just, relaxes everybody and opens them up, so thank you.
That was great.